I love his anointing. I love his spirit. I love his presence. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm convinced that miracles happen in the midst of worship and in the midst of his presence, that we just never know what the Holy Ghost is doing on our behalf while we're here. Hallelujah. And as we lift up our voices in praise to him, we just don't know what the Holy Ghost might be interceding. We don't know what the Holy Ghost might be doing. Whatever is heavy on your heart today, the Holy Ghost knows about it. Amen? Whatever you're dealing with today, the Holy Ghost knows about it. And if you'll just release the Spirit of God within you, allow the Holy Ghost to move and to do and to minister and to touch. Hallelujah. He'll go places you'll never go. He'll see things you'll never see. He'll touch hearts that you may not be able to touch. Hallelujah. You know, I think sometimes that we think that only if we sing the right song and we're in the right atmosphere at the right time and the right season that miracles can happen. But here's what I know. Peter and John went up to the temple to pray that the scripture said about the third hour of the day. They hadn't even made it into the temple yet. They hadn't made it into church. The organist hadn't started playing. The guitar player was still tuning the guitar. Everything was happening outside the gate. How many know the scripture says he laid at the gate beautiful, begging alms of those who were to come into the temple that were heading into the house of the Lord. But the scripture says that Peter and John were full of the Holy Ghost. And when they saw him and their eyes fell upon him, Peter stood up full of the Holy Ghost and said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Hallelujah. How many know the choir wasn't singing? Nobody was necessarily worshiping yet. And I believe in worship, and I believe that miracles happen in an atmosphere of worship. But never mistake the fact that you may be in Walmart sometime, and somebody, the Holy Ghost, just might stir you up, and you might think, "Well, I don't think we can have miracles without the organist going or the piano playing." But I want you to tell you the Holy Ghost works in Walmart. The Holy Ghost works in Food Lion. The Holy Ghost works on your job. Hallelujah. And them being stirred of the Holy Ghost said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Hallelujah. I mean, you have that power within you. You have that anointing within you. And not just to lay hands on somebody else. Hallelujah. I mean, sometimes you need to speak to yourself. Hallelujah. Sometimes I got to lay hands on my own head and said, "Hallelujah, I got to declare some things that the words say. I got to speak to myself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I got to encourage myself in the Lord." Hallelujah. I got to stir up the Holy Ghost sometimes. Hallelujah. I got to be in a place where I say, "Lord, I need you to speak to me. Lord, I need to hear your word. I need to hear from you. I need direction. I need strength. I need something from you today." Hallelujah. But aren't you thankful for the Holy Ghost? The power of God in you. His presence in you. Hallelujah. Is powerful and is mighty. Hallelujah. I'm going to go to Judges chapter 16 this morning. Something the Lord has laid on my heart. I've been thinking about some of the scriptures out of the book of Judges over the last few weeks. And I don't know if we'll spend a lot of time here or if this is just a temporary thing. But today I want to go to Judges 16, and I'm kind of going from the back first. Hallelujah. But the Lord spoke something to me in my spirit this week as I was praying and just said, "Lord, what do you want me to share? What do you want to put in my heart?" And part of my thing is I'm on one vein on Wednesday night, and I'm on a different vein on Sunday. So by the time I get my Wednesday night stuff going, then I got to switch gears because I'm not necessarily doing the same thing here. And it all connects, and it's all okay. But I'm like, "Lord, what are you saying to the Sunday morning crowd? What do you want them to know? What do you want to hear?" And here's what the Lord said to me. Failure is not final. Failure is not final, nor is it an option. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that failure is not final? Now, you don't have to raise your hand in here, but anybody ever failed or messed up before? I'll raise mine. I got a microphone in one hand, but how many are glad that failure is not final? It's temporary. Hallelujah. And I felt like the Lord spoke that to me in my heart this week. And so maybe I'm preaching to myself today. So you guys just amen and say, "Yep, the Lord's speaking to you." And I'll just take it and receive it. But we're going to go to Judges chapter 16 and verse 1. How many know it's the scripture of Samson? Hallelujah. Agaza. In the time of the scriptures, in the book of Joshua, the children of Israel had just crossed over into the promised land. How many know God had delivered them into the land of Canaan? And he had brought them in with a high hand, and they'd wiped out Jericho and all of those kind of things. But how many know in the book of Judges, the scripture says the judges ruled the land. There was no king in the land, and the judges ruled the land. And they were like heads of state or judges in the sense that they were kind of the overseers. And God, they would fall into idolatry with different groups and all of that kind of stuff. And God would raise up a judge, and he would establish somebody to be a leader over the people. And they would lead the people, and they would draw them back out of the idolatry or out of the sinful nature that they were living in. And they'd be okay for a while, and then they would fall back into something. And God was always faithful to raise up somebody. Amen. Somebody that was able to be a deliverer among his people. Aren't you glad that God always has a deliverer? God always has a savior. God always has somebody in place. Hallelujah. And we know that Jesus at the cross was our greatest deliverer. Hallelujah. And so all the lives of these judges mimic the life of Christ in some ways. Hallelujah. But Jesus became our greatest deliverer. He became our greatest judge. How many know we were judged guilty at the cross? So that we could be found worthy and to be found righteous in him. The scripture says he who knew no sin became sin that we could become what? The righteousness of God. How many righteous people we got in the house today? You're getting better at this. Hallelujah. He who knew no sin became sin that I could become the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. How many know I'm not living or abiding in that sin? He gave me the right to become the righteousness of God. It's not of my own righteousness, lest any man should boast, but because he has made me righteous, he put me in right standing with him. Hallelujah. And so I become righteous by the blood of Jesus. By the greatest judge of all, by the greatest victor of all, by the greatest leader of all. That's how I've been found worthy. That's how I've been found righteous. Hallelujah. But in the book of Judges, the scripture says, over in 13, and you don't have to go there, but I'm going to jump back for a minute and just cover a little bit of ground. It says the scripture in the book of Judges 13 says, and an angel of God came to Mrs. Manoah, didn't even give her name, Manoah's wife, and said, God's going to give you a son, and he's going to be a Nazarite from his birth. And he said, no razor's going to come on his head, no strong drink, nothing from the vine. And he's going to be a Nazarite, consecrated to God from the womb. And how many know she was also to be consecrated in the same vow until he was born. And so she goes and tells her husband, Mr. Manoah, God came and said that we're going to have a son, and he's going to be consecrated and dedicated to the Lord. And Manoah says, well, who is this that spoke to you? And he says, I don't know who he is. And the scripture says, and the man came back, and she went and told her husband, said, come here, you got to see him. And verse 10 says, and the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, behold, the man that appeared unto me, that came unto me the other day, he's here. And said, Manoah goes and he sees the angel and he wants to detain him, but says, and Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, what is thy name? That when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret. Now, I love that scripture, and I love that verse. How many know the angel of the Lord came to the Mr. Manoah and Mrs. Manoah and said, you're going to have a baby. You're going to have a son, and he's going to be dedicated unto the Lord all of his days. And they said, well, tell us what your name is so that when this thing comes to pass, we'll know who told us this thing. And the angel of the Lord says unto them, why do you ask my name, seeing it is secret? Another, my Bible translates that, why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful? Go ahead and bring me up Isaiah 9. Did I give you Isaiah 9? Go ahead and bring that up for me. Why do you ask my name, seeing Isaiah 9 and 6, Carlin? And the angel of the Lord said unto him, why seekest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? Or the another version saying, seeing it is wonderful. Hallelujah. Isaiah 9 and 6 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful. Why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. Why? And when I think of the name, word secret there, I think of the secret place. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know how this all plays out, but how many know Jesus had already gone ahead of Samson and made way and said, if you're asking my name, just for the record, my name is Wonderful. My name is Counselor. My name is Prince of Peace. My name is Mighty God. Hallelujah. So the next time an angel comes by and gives you a promise, ask him what his name is, because it just might be Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Hallelujah. And if he's declaring and speaking something to you, just say, yes, Lord, I'll take it. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord, I'll take it. So we go over into the book of Judges. And how many know Samson did a lot of mighty things? He was a very strong man. He was a very strong man, supernatural strength. Hallelujah. But how many know strength is not always just in your biceps? It's not always in the muscles. It's not always the person who has the greatest strength that is the strongest person. Can you hear what I'm saying? Sometimes it's that little tiny granny that spends a whole lot of time on her knees that's got strength to move mountains, that may not be able to move the couch in her living room, but she knows how to move mountains out of her way, because she knows how to, through faith believing, say to the mountain, be moved and be cast into the sea, and it's cast into the sea. How many know strength has to start in your mind first? You got to believe it. You got to believe you can do it. You got to believe who you are. You got to believe in the strength and the impartation of God in you. How many know when I am weak, He's still strong? When I am weak, He is still strong. Hallelujah. Weary doesn't mean weak. Anybody in here ever been weary? Weary doesn't mean weak. Weary just means you've been using a whole lot of muscles over and over again. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I did some dancing here last Sunday in church. I'll tell myself for a minute. And Monday morning I got up, I had a little bit of sore muscles in my front of my legs. I was doing that only a God like you jumping up and down. And I thought, wow, the muscles is a little bit sore. You know what that told me? You need to use them some more. Amen. It ain't time to quit dancing. It's time to start using them some more. Hallelujah. I mean, when you first go to the gym and you first start working out, the muscles get a little bit sore. But if you'll persevere and hang in there, you'll build up the strength in those areas. How many know the first temptation to quit is when those muscles start hurting? And you know, even in our own personal life, in our spiritual life, sometimes you got to flex some muscles and you got to operate in some things of the spirit. And you think, I don't know if they'll like this or not. But I have a theory, if we would ever really release the power of the Holy Spirit and the anointing in the house, in the worship, you won't have to buy a gym membership. Don't throw rocks at me. Amen. If we really would allow the Holy Ghost to just move in us and we would flow in the power of the Holy Spirit, you'll find out you may not need a gym membership. You just may need to dance before the Lord a little bit. How many know when David saw the ark coming back into the city, he said he danced before the Lord with all his might. Hallelujah. How many know the presence of the Lord had been absent from the house? And when it came back, there was some rejoicing in the heart of David, to the point he said, I don't even care what people think about me. And his wife made fun of him and mocked him in his heart. He said, you go ahead and mock me all you want to, but the ark's back in the house. The presence of God is back in the house. Good things are going to happen in the house, because what we lost has been found and the presence of God has been established. And I'm going to dance with all my might. Hallelujah. And as we begin to release the power of the Holy Spirit in our life, how many know He'll do things for you spiritually, physically, mentally? Amen. Sister Wilda already told you, a merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Amen. A broken spirit dries the bones. But Samson was a man of great strength. Laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight and arose at midnight and took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders and carried them up to the top of a hill that is before Hebron. Now he came out in midnight and he just took the whole gates of the city with him on his way out. That's pretty strong. Amen? That's pretty good strength. But you know, I was thinking about this scripture and reading it. And previous to that, the scripture says they were on their way down and said to the city, and he said, the lion came up against Samson. And he said, by his bare hands, he took the lion and rent him into pieces. Now, that's a pretty strong man. Amen. Any lion hunters in here? Okay, I'm pretty safe. All right, so he takes his bare hands and he rents this lion apart. Amen. He's a big, strong, strapping fella. But I'm reminded of another story of a young man who does the same thing to a lion, but the scripture tells us he was small and ruddy and the least in his father's house. Strength doesn't have to do with muscles. Strength has to do with the power of the mind and the intent of the heart. How many know when David came up and he just come to check in on the brothers, and all of a sudden a great man of Goliath came out and began to bellow his threats against the children of Israel? David said, hey guys, who's going to fight this guy? They said, David, go back home. Go back home. We're under enough stress, it is, without you up here poking your head in on what's going on. David said, I'll fight him. If none of you all want to fight him, I'll fight him. And he goes up to Goliath, and the scripture says he takes 5 smooth stones. You know the story. He goes up to him. He said, you come to me and with swords and spears, but I come to you in the name of the power of the Most High God. How many know there's a difference in how you fight? Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. The scripture said of Samson over and over again, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And he was able to rent the lion. And he was able to defeat the Philistines. And he was able to carry up the power of the gates of the city. Never think that the power that you have is out of your own strength, but out of the strength that God gives you. Hallelujah. How many know ever can say God's given me strength to do things that I never thought in a million years that I would be able to go through or be able to do or be able to accomplish? It was outside of my own realm of strength. It was outside of my own realm of ability that I thought that I could accomplish. But through the power of God in me, God has been able to do things that I thought I could never do. I've been able to come through things I thought I'd never be able to come through. I've been able to endure some things that I never thought I'd be able to endure. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson. The Spirit of the Lord came upon David. Hallelujah. Your strength does not lie in yourself. Your strength lies in the one who is strong in you. Hallelujah. The one who is strong in you. Hallelujah. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. Everybody say Delilah. You figure out who your own Delilah is to the today. She may not be the person sitting beside you. I hope she's not the person sitting beside you. Delilah is the one who tempts you to become something that you're not. The one who tempts you to sell out to what you were born to be. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against them, that we may bind to afflict him, and we will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. Sound familiar? How many know she sold him out for silver? The one closest to him sold him out for silver. And Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, if they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dry, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber, and she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the withs as a thread of tow is broken when it toucheth the fire, so his strength was not known. And Delilah said unto Samson, Behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. Clue, Samson. She's probably not on your side. Red flag. If you tell your deepest secrets, and those secrets come back to bite you, chances are that's probably not the person you should share your secrets with. I'll say that again. You're still looking at me. If the secrets you're sharing, the very secrets of your heart, the secrets of the source of your strength, if you're selling out them out, and those are the very things that are coming back to bite you, chances are that's not the person that you should be confiding your heart to, your mind to, your thoughts, your secret, your destiny, your purpose, and your vow. How many know what she wants to know is, where does your strength come from, Samson? What has made you the man that you are? The man that's made him who he is the vow that he took. The purpose that he was destined to be the day when his mama was sitting there and the angel called Wonderful came and said, I'm going to give you a son, but this son has purpose. This son has destiny. This son has calling. He's going to take a Nazarite vow. He's going to be consecrated. He's going to be set apart. And he's going to be called to judge and to be a leader of my people. Hallelujah. Anything that causes you to compromise who you are and who you were destined to be, you better run like Forrest and run. Because she's not out to get your good, your best interest at heart. And I'm not necessarily talking about people. I mean, no, we can, wherever it is, we lay our mind. We allow our mind to be laid in the lap of whatever it is that entices us, that steals your dignity, your calling, your purpose, your power, or zaps your strength, is probably a place you don't need to be. Amen? Hallelujah. And so he says, she says to him, you mocked me, Samson. And he said unto her, if they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liers in wait abiding in the chamber, and he brake them from off his arms like a thread. And Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if thou weavest the seven locks of my head with the web. And she fastened it with a pin and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awaked out of his sleep and went away with the pin and the beam and the web. Fool me once, shame on me. Shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. How many know there's some times where we need to get a little bit of wisdom and say, this may not be my best interest at heart. Amen? This may not be my destiny. This may not be the road that's going to bring me the best benefit of what God is calling forth in my life. And she said unto him, how canst thou say I love thee when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him that his soul was vexed unto death. In other words, she aggravated him to death until he told his secret. Amen? Until he told his secret, till he sold out. That he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. Hallelujah. How many know when we are not in covenant with God, we are as any other man? Now let me just say right off the bat that God will not break his covenant with you. But how many know we can sell out on our end of the deal? Now it may not be fatal to you, but how many know it can delay your purpose? It can delay your journey. It can delay your calling sometimes. And he says, and how many know when she shaved his head, she stripped him of his identity. She stripped him of some things that were his vow, his purpose, his destiny, his strength. Hallelujah. He laid when Samson, let me read on. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this month, for he has showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. I mean, when Samson laid his head in the lap of another that was willing to sell him out, it brought blindness and weakness into his life. He forgot who he was for the moment. He forgot his identity in Christ. How many know sometimes we need to remember who we, well, all the time, we need to remember who we are in Christ, who we were purposed to be, and be careful about the voices that we let speak into our lives. Negativity. And I'm not talking about people that just talk. How many know sometimes the biggest battleground of our life is our mind? You're not worthy. You're not able. You're not, you know, God will never be able to use. Because I'm not a speaker, or I'm not a talker, or you know, I'm not strong. Or we think of all the reasons why God can't do the miraculous in our life. And sometimes the voice we need to silence the biggest is this voice inside of our head that says, maybe he won't do it. Maybe it's doubt. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's unworthiness. Maybe it's our own self-esteem. Maybe it's our own limitations we put on ourselves and say, what in the world could God ever do with my life? Hallelujah. But let me know what we need to do is remember who we were born to be. Remember our destiny. Remember our person. There's not one person in this house today within the sound of my voice that doesn't have purpose and calling and destiny, that has not been consecrated and set apart, that God can do the miraculous in your life. Amen? That God can do the miraculous. But when he forgot for the moment who he was, it sapped him of his strength, and he lost his vision. He became blind to what the purpose of God was in his life. They punched out his eyes. They chained him to a mill, and he ground corn for his enemy. It was the lowest form of humiliation they could do to a leader or a ruler, was to put him in a prison house as a common slave and to put out his eyes. But the scripture says, but his hair began to grow back. Say, failure is not final. Hallelujah. But his hair began to grow back. See, we can, you know, Paul said, I'm cast down, but I'm not cast out. Hallelujah. There's times when we may be down, but we're not out. Hallelujah. There's times when we may be weary, but we're not weak. There's times when we may be struggling, but we're still the victor. Hallelujah. I mean, you have to choose to be the victor and not the victim. You have to choose to be the head and not the tail. You have to choose to be the front and not the back. You got to choose to stand up today and say, I'm going to put one foot in front of the other, and today I'm going to make some change in my life for the better. Hallelujah. But however, his hair begin to grow back. And somehow I figure when Samson begins to make those paths around that millstone, he's thinking, I don't think Delilah had my best interest in heart. I don't think Delilah knew who I was. I don't think she knows that my mama heard from an angel. I don't think she knows that I was born for such a time as this. I don't think she knows I'm consecrated. I don't think she knows I'm destined. I don't think she knows I'm purposed. I don't think she knows that I am a ruler. I don't think she knows that I am not weak, that I am the strength of the Lord, that I am mighty, that I'm the head and not the tail. And how many know every time he goes around that mill grinding that corn, a little more hair begins to grow back, and a little more substance begins to come back, and he's starts thinking about who I am. I remember carrying the gates of the city on my shoulders. I remember killing the lion with my bare hands. I remember the fox's tails I tied together and I took down the Philistine cornfields. I am not a slave. I am not cast down. I am not cast out, but I was born with purpose. I am the called of God. And every time he made a path around that meal, a little more hair grew back, and a little more hair grew back, and a little more strength came back. And he began to speak to himself, and he began to declare who I am in Christ. Hallelujah. It may look like you've lost your vision. It may look like you've been sold out. It may look like you're in a prison house. It may look like you're a slave. But that's not what your eyes are seeing. Absolutely. Absolutely. Amen. You can't lay your head in the lap. I'm just going to pass the mic as, you know, I'll get stirred up. Just go ahead and preach. You can't lay your lap. You can't lay your head. I'm looking at my notes. Trying to quote her, he gave control of his mind or his thought pattern over to a harlot system that will sap your strength every time. It only wants to sap you of power and use you up. Your enemy will mock you if you let them. Don't rent them space in your head. Hallelujah. Where your head or your mind is speaks volumes of where your strength is. Philippians 4:8-9 says, think on these things. Whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of a good report, think on those things which you have heard and seen and me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. You want peace in your heart, peace in your mind? Start thinking on these things. Start thinking higher. Start thinking to another level. Start contemplating on what the Word says. Start decreeing who you were born to be, who you were destined to be, and don't be selling out to and just sit down and think, I'm a slave, I'm blind, and I'm destined to be here. How many know even in that pit of despair, Samson had to come to the realization of who he was? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says, howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. You know, sometimes that harlot system, as Pastor Shirley can said, it can be a religious system that wants to reduce you to slavery, a slave mentality, and use you up and sell you out with no purpose and no way out of what your situation is. Failure is not final, nor is it an option. Hallelujah. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their God and to rejoice. For they said, our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. And when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, our God hath delivered him. Hath delivered into our hands our enemy and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass when their hearts were merry, they said, call for Samson that we may make us sport. In other words, he can entertain us. We can make fun of him. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Hallelujah. How many know sometimes when you're in the situation that Samson was in, that what you got to do is get a hold of some pillars. You got to reach out and get a hold of some pillars. Revelations 3:12, if you can bring that one up. Revelations 3:12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is in New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. How many know he says, to him that overcome will I make a pillar. I mean, no, a pillar is an overcomer. A pillar is an overcomer. When Samson was in this distress that he was in, how many know he was cast down, but he wasn't cast down? It looked like things were bad all the way around, but how many know, but the scripture says, but his hair began to grow again. His hair began to grow again. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter how far down you get. It doesn't matter what the situation looks at. You are never too far for the grace of God to grab a hold of you and fulfill his purpose and his power and his destiny in your life. Don't ever think that you can go too far from the grace of God, that he can grab a hold of you and bring you back and still bring a deliverer or deliverance in your life. Hallelujah. And so what he does is says, you know what? I might be cast down, but I'm going to reach out and grab a hold of somebody who's got some strength. I'm going to find me some overcomers to hang out with. I'm going to find somebody who's had the victory in their life. I'm going to find somebody who knows how to praise with me. I'm going to find somebody who knows how to pray with me. I'm going to know how somebody that knows how to speak blessing over me. The worst thing you can do when you're down and out is go hang out with other warthogs and meerkats. Because you forget who you are and you start functioning like they do. How many know the man that was laying at the pool of Bethesda had so cultured himself to the system he was in that he'd laid there for 38 years, and because he got comfortable, because everybody else around him was in the same shape he was in. There's a point when you got to look out and say, if everybody around me is in the same shape that I'm in, one of us needs to make a step up out of here. He laid there for a very long time. And what happens is you can become cultured and numb and say, I'll just be comfortable in here until Jesus comes along and says, wilt thou be made whole? Say, well, you don't know the story. I've been here for 38 years, and this is how the program works. First of all, an angel comes and stirs the water. After the water gets stirred, somebody gets in. Whoever gets in first, they get healed. And Jesus said, I don't want to know about the system. I said, do you want to be made whole? Do you want change? Do you want healing in your life? If you do, get up out of that place and walk. Hallelujah. I mean, no, Samson said, I may be down, but I'm not out. I'm going to connect myself to some pillars. I'm going to stretch out one hand, and I'm going to grab a hold of some overcomers. And I'm going to stretch out this hand, and I'm going to get a hold of some overcomers. See, when we pray in the morning, I say, reach out and touch somebody's hand beside you, because I believe the threefold cord is not easily broken. And when I grab a hold of somebody's hand, I say, I'm going to get me some strength from this overcomer, and I'm going to get me some strength from this pillar. And we're going to, the three of us are going to agree together, because wherever two or three agree together in my name, I will show up in the midst of them. Hallelujah. How many know he knew how to grab a hold of some strength? He knew how to grab a hold of somebody who could speak life into him. I can tell you many times I've had to reach out and say, I need to grab a hold of a pillar. I need to find somebody stronger than me at the moment. And I need to find somebody right now that can speak life into me. I need somebody to remind me who I am. I need somebody to speak over my destiny. I need somebody to speak over the vow. I need somebody to say, you are the head and not the tail. Hallelujah. Many times in my life, I've had to grab a hold of some pillars in my life and say, God, restore my strength. And what happens when Samson reaches out? He grabs a hold. He said, young man, take me to some pillars. Lead me to some overcomers. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. Avenge me, Lord, for the loss of my vision. Restore my strength. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and the other with his left hand. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might. And the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtol in the burying place of Manoah his father, and he judged Israel 20 years. Hallelujah. How many know what he did is he reached out and he grabs a hold of the pillars of the temple. Hallelujah. And he gets a hold of them. But when he reaches out and grabs a hold of those pillars, the scripture says that the temple comes down. And he's victorious in his death. But how many know when Jesus hung on the cross, he reached out to those who were beside him. He reached out with one left hand and he reached out with one right hand and he pulled all men unto him. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll reach out with my right hand and I'll reach out with my left hand and I will draw all men unto me. Even to the point of the cross, he says, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. That even he was victorious over his enemies and over the powers that sold him out and was able to reach out with both hands and draw all men unto him. Hallelujah. How many know we have the right, the power, and the grace to get back up every time? Not because I'm the strongest, not because I'm the biggest, and not because I'm the best, but because Jesus reached out on a cross of Calvary, took all my failure, took all the wrath of the Father, took all the sins of mankind, and drew them into himself. Hallelujah. Drew me into himself that I could have life and have it all more abundantly. Hallelujah. How many know I don't have to live in my past failures? I don't have to live in my past sins, my shortcomings, and what is behind me is behind me. Hallelujah. Pumbaa prophesied to Simba and said, you got to put your behind in your past. Y'all know I'm on the Lion King, right? I mean, he forgot who he was. And so he started eating grub worms and hanging out with meerkats and warthogs. But there was a Nala who come along and started telling him, you were born for more than this, Simba. Then there's a prophet who's got a stick and he bonks him on the head. And see, the first time he bonks him on the head, it hurts. He says, ouch. But the next time he swings it, he ducks. He said, see, you learn from that. I mean, you know, Samson wasn't that quick. He got bonked on the head way too many times. He should have figured it out. But how many know the prophet had to take him to the pool of the water? And when he sees his reflection in the water, he said, look for your father. Your father lives in you. And while you're hanging out in the desert and the back roads and the wilderness, the pride land is being eaten up by hyenas. And it is your day to rule and reign. Hallelujah. Somebody had to speak to Simba. How many know there was a Nala and a prophet, Rafiki, that came along that was a pillar in his life that started to declare what was right about him instead of everything that was wrong about him. We've preached for centuries telling people what's wrong with them. If we'd ever turn it around and just start telling them what's right about them. You may not be all wrong, but you're all right, but you ain't all wrong either. Hallelujah. If you remember the clip from last week, it may be a +2 instead of a -18, but you didn't get them all wrong. How many know it's the same scenario? It's just a different kind of administration. It's the power of affirmation. It's the power of begin to speak into the lives of people and say, you were born for greatness. You were born for this day. Hallelujah. Your strength is in your covering, in your hair, a mentality that thinks higher and above. No more stinking thinking. The scripture says he's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Failure is not final. Hallelujah. Get up. Quit grinding corn for your enemy. Remember who you are and who you were meant to be. Your weakness is only temporary. Your strength is being restored. Stand up. Grab hold of some pillars. Albert Einstein said, you can't solve a problem at the level it was created. I said, Albert Einstein said, you can't solve a problem at the level it was created. If you have produced a problem in your life, you must go to another level to solve it. You must rise above through the power of his spirit. With his spirit, you are not powerless. Hallelujah. At this level, if you got problems, guess what? You need to get up to another level. You need to get up to a little higher place. Hallelujah. And allow God to do the miraculous. Remember your past victories. Samson had lots of time to think about decisions and past victories in that dungeon. Hallelujah. Get up, get some hair. Grow your hair back. Strength grows. You are stronger than you think. Hallelujah. Delilah is a harlot system. It can be a system of religion, addictions, cunning devices, poverty mentality, brokenness. You are never too far down. Silence her voice. Wake up, Samson. You were born and consecrated for greatness by Jesus himself. He showed up and prophesied over you. Get that angel's name. An angel that came to tell you of your birth. You were not an accident. You were on purpose. Your end has not come. You are a deliverer. You are a Nazirite. That means you're consecrated, set apart, purpose, destined, called. Keep your vow. Hallelujah. Manoah's name means rest, quiet. How many know out of his rest and quiet times, he produced the strength and produced a deliverer named Samson. Hallelujah. Failure is not final. Hallelujah. The Pharisees wanted to know where Jesus' strength. Said, where does your strength lie? By what authority do you do these miracles? How many know he dealt with that whole system, that whole Delilah on another level? Whose voice do you hear? Jesus hung out with outcasts. You say, well, you know, we got to hang out with, we got to help people in need. Yes, we do. And I absolutely believe that. I just taught a 6-week series on that. Hallelujah. But he never did it at the expense of his honor or his integrity or his character. He left them changed for the better. He set the example. They did the changing. Hallelujah. How many know we need men to stand up with honor and integrity? To know who you are, to be comfortable who you are, not to be swayed by pressures outside of you, to be anything other than God called you and purposed you to be. Hallelujah. And then bring that character into those you come in contact with. People need to know that. Hallelujah. People need to know there's hope. Hallelujah. In closing, T.G. Jakes said, there's three kinds of people in your life to interact with as a person of destiny. Number one is confidants. They're very few. Those are the people that you can literally confide in and they got your back. Every David needs a Jonathan. Every Deborah needs a Jael. You need a confidant. You need a pillar. You need an overcomer. You need somebody who can speak strength into your life. You have to have someone who feeds you, not just draws from you. You need someone who's willing to get to the mat for you and that's got your back. I mean, you know, sometimes those can be few and far between. Jesus is your greatest confidant. Then there are comrades. They are against what you're against, but only there till the enemy's defeated. Be careful who you share your dream with. Then there's constituents. They are for what you are for, but they're not for you. If they find someone who can further them, they will drop you. I mean, all those people come into our life and to play it sometimes, and they make us who we are. Hallelujah. But don't allow it to steal your destiny, your purpose, your vow, and the calling of God in your life. Amen? Hallelujah. You need to remember that you were purposed and destined for greatness. Never sell out your mentality or your thoughts or your mind to a system that'll rob you. And when you find out they're taking more from you, that whatever it is in your life, and I'm not talking about people. I really am not talking about people. I'm talking about whatever it is in your life that drains your strength. If it's taken more from you than it's given to you, you need to reach out and grab a hold of some pillars. You need to reach out and grab a hold of Jesus. You need to think on these things that we said. Take your mind to a higher level. Whatever things are good, honest, of a good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, that's where we let this mind be. The scripture says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And if you ever find yourself cast down, just remember you're not cast out. Hallelujah. If you ever find yourself in a place of weakness, if you ever find yourself in a place where it feels like your strength has been taken from you, remember your identity. Remember who you are and who you were purposed to be. Hallelujah. And reach out. Grab a hold of some pillars. Hallelujah. And allow God to restore that strength to you. Failure is not final, nor is it an option in our life. Hallelujah. We don't have to live in failures. We don't have to live in condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Probably the worst person judging you guilty is yourself. Amen. Sometimes the person who judges us most guilty is ourself. But I'm glad that he's set, stand, that I can stand fast in the liberty wherewith God makes us free and be not entangled again in any yoke of bondage. Whether it's religious bondage, addictive bondage, mindset bondage, whatever it is, he has made us free, and failure is not final. Weary does not mean weak. Hallelujah. You are the called, the chosen, and the purpose of God, and you were born for such a time as this. Do you believe that? Do you believe that today? You were born for such a time as this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And sometimes we just need to stand up and say, you know what? I remember who I am, and I remember who I was born to be. Hallelujah. And allow God to develop that character, that purpose, that strength in us. That's an inner strength. That's not an outer strength. Hallelujah. The greatest strength is the inner strength, the power of the Holy Ghost in our lives to lead us and guide us and to restore us. See, the grace of God is unboundless. It's unlimited. That even in our lowest place, the grace of God is always for restoring. It's always a restorative power to set you back up, to set you aright. That's what righteousness means, to be set aright, to set back up, to be set right with God. Thank God for his grace. Then even in my weakness or in my failures, God can give me the strength to say, I am who I am by the grace of God, and I thank God for victory. Hallelujah. I thank God for victory. Stand to your feet this morning and lift your hands for just a moment. Say, God, I thank you for victory in my life. I thank you for healing in my life. I don't care what my body says. I'm the healed of the Lord. I don't care what my mind says. I'm not under oppression. I don't care what my checkbook says. I'm not in poverty. I don't care what Delilah says. I was born and purposed and destined. Hallelujah. For such a time as this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Beth, come and play something if you would. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for victory in this house today. Lord, I thank you that we are the head and not the tail. I thank you, Lord, that we are rulers and leaders. Hallelujah. Heads of state, God, that you have purposed and called. I thank you for everyone that was purposed from their mother's womb, God, that you spoke over, that you declared, hallelujah, your purpose and your calling in their life. And God, I declare over families today. Hallelujah. I declare over families today healing and power. Nothing broken, nothing lost, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, we call together, Lord God, that you begin to heal and restore brokenness, Lord, in every area of our life, God. I thank you that you've raised up deliverers in this house. God, I thank you for every pillar in this house. I thank you for every overcomer in this house, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you believe it, grab a hold of it. Hallelujah. If you believe it, grab a hold of it. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The altars are always open in this house. Hallelujah.